الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى purposefully he created time frame for this dunya, so we should be careful and we should spend our time with the purpose that we should be successful on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made us a small baby when we born, then we become adult and eventually we become old. And the changes occur in our body. The purpose is, it's a reminder that we are soon going out from this world and we need to prepare. Similarly, in 1 year, if you see, there's a month of Ramadan and also different months, like especially these days is the Rabiul Awwal. So each month has a different importance. And during that period of time, we stress on different things. And alhamdulillah, this is also part of our preparation for Akhirah. Similarly, the week, in 1 week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made Jummah. Jummah has a special importance. Usually we see people are not praying 5 times regularly in the masjid, but on the day of Jummah, they struggle and they come to pray Jummah. The purpose is, Jummah has some importance, and a moment he knows that when Jummah come and there's more reward, so I should not miss. In a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made special morning and also after Salat-e Asr time for the zikr. Morning and evening is special for zikrullah, remembrance of Allah. In between, yes, we are busy, we are working for sustenance, for job and things like that, or someone going to meet someone, you know, different meetings going on. So maybe there is some level of forgetfulness, but when the day begins and when the day ends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you should remember me. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, you know, day and night and all the system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make a time, like for example, there's no day, there's no night, there's no sunrise, no sunset, like somewhere out of the solar system, you can imagine there's no time over there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it over here. With the estimate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah can give some period of time, but suddenly the death can come, and people are going to think that we didn't get chance to prepare. We were not aware. So that's why all this happening in our life. So one thing we understand, that why these days are made, why, you know, the year and all these things. The purpose is that this month especially is the month of Rabiul Awwal. All over in the Islamic world, wherever the Muslims are, they are expressing their feelings towards their beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If someone is still ignorant in this month, what you can expect from him? rest of the year. How are you going to remember? You know, too hard. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made purposefully all these things, so we should express our feelings, you know, and we should remember. And at the same time, to follow the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also important. Because this month give us a reminder. Because we are believer, and we said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. That is a proof that truly we witness that Allah is one and no one else is worthy for the worship. And Prophet ﷺ is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to follow him. Now we are living in a society where people, they have a different perspectives, different ideology. If a person is a positive thinker, he thinks positive. So happiness has come into his heart, his approach is positive, his outcome is positive. But if the person is negative, he's going to be sad, he's going to be depressed, he's going to think differently. If a half glass is full of water, two people, they're looking into that, one going to say, the half of the glass or cup is empty, the other one can say, the half is full. You know, the glass is full of water, half. So both are different. You know, when a sad person, he look towards even the flowers. In one book, they said there was a man, he was in the jail, from the window, he was looking outside the jail, and he saw there was a flower, and the flower has different petals, and when he looked towards those petals, and he felt like how they are broken from each other, they are apart from each other, you know. He said, the way my heart get teared and bleeding, similarly this flower is also red in color and bleeding, and his petals are apart from each other. So this is his thinking. Another person who is in a happy mood, and he gonna look, he gonna say, how beautiful is this flower, you know, how beautiful color is, how nice is smell, you know. So his thinking is different, seeing the same thing. When a believer, he look towards the divine knowledge, his thoughts are different. He feels this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming, and this is for my own betterment. Everything is commanded by my Allah. So if I follow, I'm going to have benefit out of this. I'm going to be successful in this dunya, and also I'm going to be successful hereafter. But when this believer, he think the command of Allah is coming, he feel like I'm getting into a prison. I have no freedom. I don't have my own choice. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. This dunya is a prison for a moment. Because Islam, one thing you need to understand completely. All the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam is challenging your nafs. It's challenging your nafs. You have to do some struggle against your nafs in order to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what exam is. The commandments of Allah is against shaitan and against your nafs. And this is the struggle that you have to make until your nafs get mutmainna, get peaceful, and acceptance come into your nafs, then automatically you are successful. Your nafs has to admit the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, in the morning, awaking is difficult. There's no doubt. At that time, mostly people, they have a deep sleep. Mostly people want to rest at that time. So when you have to wake up at that time, it's against your nafs. Same thing, you know, you look all the ibadah, 5-time prayers is also against the nafs. Because you have to leave your work, you have to come to the masjid, you have to spend some time. Maybe you are busy in your meeting, maybe you have some opportunities to make more money. So, but you have to challenge your nafs. Ramadan comes. A lot of people, they feel like, you know, being hungry is not an easy thing. But this is a challenge. You make hard earning, and at the end, you have to give charity to poor people. The nafs is going to say, why I should give this to poor people? It's hard. It's your saving. And then you have to give to nearest people. Mostly, people, they blame their own relatives that they are lazy. They are not working. I'm working hard. Look at my brother. He's not doing proper job. He's lazy guy. But you have to give him zakat. So it's a challenge on your nafs. Then you have to travel and you have to have a 2-piece of clothing and you have to say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. You do not use any fragrance and you do not use any oil, and you travel and all the way to the Saudi Arabia and you make a Hajj over there. You have to take some time with your family. You know, it's a challenge. You're spending money and you're making the struggle. And many people, when they perform one Hajj, when they come back, they tell everybody, Hajj is farz only one time, so that's it. I have done my job, and now no need to go back. So this tells us that his nafs get challenged over there. He was traveling over there, he was restless over there, he was spending money over there, so many, many things, you know, people, they did not, you know, maybe gave him proper sleep over there, or many, many things can happen. And that's why they are saying, that's it, only one time. Now, again, I'm not going to put my nafs into this challenge. So, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. And this is a paradise. That's the only opportunity for a kafir to enjoy and live his life the way he wants. That's why a kafir, he thinks in his own way, his actions are decided by himself. He don't want to have any control of his nafs and his desires. And he fully wants to enjoy, and mostly their slogan is, life is only one time. Man, life is for enjoyment. That's true, because for kuffar, there is no more enjoyment after this life. Enjoyment is going to finish. So, they inside witness that life is only one time and we need to enjoy. So, we are living in a society where we have a mixture of people and they have different thoughts and different opinions. Some people, they are living over here and they have a positive approach towards Islam. There are many people who are living over here in this society and their perspectives are different about Islam. There's a book, mostly our 8th, 9th, 10th grade students, they learn in their school. This means that your children, when they go into the school, they teach them a subject with the name of social studies, and they teach them history also in this subject, where they are expressing Western perspectives about the history, how the mankind started, which could be completely different than what you and me thinking. Like if we think there was a first person was Adam al-Islam, and Hazrat Hawa was from the Adam al-Islam, their perspective could be different. So you children are studying over there different perspectives. Majority of us, especially who are immigrant, they came from different countries, they never have a chance to go and read this book, what your child is reading, and he has to examine in order to pass this subject. I can tell you one example. In this book, they mention when the Ottoman Turks, they conquered some areas where people used to practice Christianity over there. Of course, they have their place of worship, house of worship, which is called their churches. So in this book, they mention when the Muslims, they came into this area, they converted these churches into masajid. Then they show the pictures of those churches were so beautifully decorated and nicely made, grand churches. So of course, when a disbeliever today, if he look into this story that, okay, they conquered and they changed our house of worship, so they must be very mad, angry. But if you, being a Muslim, you know that Muslims, they protect the other's place of worship. They don't destroy them. They don't change them. They let them practice. They offer them, come and share together. Like you offer someone to come and share my food together. This is something very different. If someone accepts it, he's going to sit down with you. And this is your hospitality towards them, that you are offering food. It's up to him. He accepts or he rejects. So another aspect is, one can think when the Muslims, they came into different part of the world, when they went over there, the people, they start loving. They start catching those ideas. They get attracted with them, which forced them to change their religion. Like in our countries, like India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, we know there was a young man, Muhammad bin Qasim, he came over there. And then Islam came. Islam get introduced in this area. And the majority of our elders, maybe they were practicing different religion at that time. Maybe they were idol worshipper. So they changed their religion. So for example, we are right now in Jamaica, and the majority of population change and they accept Islam. What do you think? What are they going to do about their place of worship? Of course, they're going to convert them into new practice. Because now the people, they change. So obviously, they're going to change their churches into masajid. So there's one aspect of history is that Muslims, they change the churches. Another aspect is that the people, they changed, and those people, they change their own place of worship, the house of worship, into different style. Because when they change their lifestyle, obviously they change everything. So, my friend, this is like one example that I gave you. Another example is, they said in this book of social studies that before Islam, the woman was having freedom. When Islam came, it took the freedom of ladies. Yes, we know that in Islam that there was a time before Islam the people, they used to make tawaf naked. So if you call this is freedom, maybe there's one aspect to think. But when Islam came, it covered ladies head to toe. You know, this is something, a different aspect, and the, a lot of Muslims, they consider this as a respect to woman, not insult to woman, it is respect to the woman. And you can ask those people whose wife is covering themselves, it is difficult for a man to protect her because she needs extra help because she's covering herself. She's not going to be wandering here and there. So man has to do the grocery. The man has to bring each and everything and has to help this lady. And when, you know, the woman is covering, if someone, you know, if she has to go to some place, the man has to struggle a little bit more for her, you know, practice of religion. Everywhere, every step you will see, you know, those women who are not practicing, you know, Islam in a way that they are covering themselves. Their men may be working on the job and the ladies are driving, they are going by themselves, they are doing the grocery, they are going into the different offices and they are doing anything they want. So if the man is helping extra to the woman in order to her practice religion, do you think he is forcing or he is caring her? It's a different aspect, you know. An other man whose wife is wandering here and there and doing everything, this woman is doing extra work for the man, not for the woman the man is working. It's a totally different aspect, you know. You know. Similarly, my friend, this is a month of Rabiul Awwal. My purpose to explain all this, one, that you must go read your children's book, what they are teaching over there, and then you need to guide your children, you know, your aspect of Islam. You know, they are teaching Western aspect, Western thinking, that this happened in the history. But you need to tell your children what is Islamic aspect, and, you know, so child can make the comparison and make a wise decision about such matters. Number two, you and me and our children, everyone is getting challenged, especially in the month of Rabiul Awwal, because we all are talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam birth and his prophethood and all these things. So definitely, you know, the people can challenge you that Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came, you know, so he was like not a prophet, because this is the Islamic belief that we consider him as a Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the book is a divine book. They can teach, you know, or people can think, okay, you know, if Islam has a Quran, other people, they have, you know, Bible, and someone else has other book and other book. So every religion has book. So this book, this book, this book. This leader, and this leader. So all is equal. So what is special in Islam? Islam is just like a culture to them. But, my friend, we must need to understand that our religion is a true religion. You know, for example, if Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, if he came into this dunya and he was an ordinary person, he born in a family and he was also born orphan, and then, you know, if he had a desire to become only a leader of society, his approach can be totally different. For example, what could be his approach? He was in Arab Venezuela, where people, they have economic crisis at that time. He can present a system that, look, I can develop this area and we can work together and we can improve the economics of this area so Our other areas, like at that time, Kasra Kisra, they were very well developed. So why not we should work together and get united with each other and improve our economy so everyone should have a shelter, everyone should have a food, and everyone can have a, you know, clothing and living and resources. He can present this, you know, to become a easily leader of that land. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have this approach. And you can see, by saying this, he can bring everyone on one platform. Another approach could be, he can say that, look, everyone is proud of their culture and their society. We are Arab. And Arab, they know a language. And the language has importance. We know how to speak and express. And other people are Ajam. They don't know how to express themselves. So let's work together as an Arab. Like many, many people, based on their language, they made a slogan, you know, easy way to become popular as a leader, that this is my language, let's come and get close to each other, and we're going to do this, 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 and we will make a change in the world, because our language and our culture is same. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam don't have this approach. Another thing, at that time, the people was oppressed at that time. There were some people, they were suffering over there. Woman was also having crisis at that time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he wants to stand against the leaders, he can easily can tell the people, come those who are suffering under my flag, and we're going to work together, and we're going to make a change in the world. So he can be leader of those who are suffering at that time. In one slogan, he can bring everyone together. But what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his approach? It was totally against that place. It was totally against those people who cannot be supportive to him. This means his approach was not designed by himself being a man. His approach was from his Lord, Allah. Because Allah knows that through this approach, he's going to be forever. A man cannot think like this. And what was his approach? His approach was that, oh people, come and say, La ilaha illallah. What's that mean? This means that totally against the system of all the leaders of Arab, because Arab was idol worshipper at that time, and now he's saying that completely destroy all the economic system because this is the source for them to make the money. And here he is against all this system. So I like to conclude my talk right now. We started like people have different aspects. My friend, and you are getting challenged in this country. Your children are getting challenged in this country, especially when there is a mixture of people are living over here. So learn and try to understand your religion, because who's going to tell the community? You, your children. But if they are not well knowledge, they will not able to tell anyone. So you need to learn your aspects, your religion, and alhamdulillah, you need to practice and be proud that when you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.